veto power over who the university hires to teach. Quote, a foundation bankrolled by libertarian businessman Charles G. Koch has pledged $1.5 million for positions in Florida State University's economics department. In return, his representatives get to screen and sign off on any hires for a new department program. The contract specifies that an advisory committee appointed by Koch decides which candidates should be considered. The foundation can also withdraw its funding if it is not happy with the faculty choice, or if the hirees do not meet objectives set by Koch during annual evaluations. Forget naming rights to the stadium or whatever. Conservative billionaire Charles Koch purchased hiring rights for the faculty at Florida State's economics department. And yes, Florida State has the word state in its name because it is a public university. And yes, it is objectively insane that the state of Florida allowed that to happen.
That was MSNBC host Rachel Maddow talking about Florida State University, Lisa Graves.
Well, that's not surprising. The Kochs have a reputation for really trying to ensure that they have a return on their investment and trying to ensure that the money they're spent gets results. After the 2012 election and the failure of Romney to win that race, there was a lot of hand-wringing among Republican or right-wing circles, and one of the Kochs was quoted talking about how they needed to review the money that was spent and basically see what worked and see what didn't, which is interesting because the Kochs have talked about this as really a First Amendment issue. Their spokesperson has talked about this as the necessity of secrecy and protecting First Amendment rights. But in this country, for more than 40 years, we've had a history of trying to ensure transparency in our elections. That's why it's called dark money, because money that's meant to benefit candidates, that is given to candidates or to political action committees or to parties, is supposed to be disclosed so the American people know who's trying to influence their candidates, who's trying to help buy those seats, and who might wield incredible influence on elected politicians. And that's why the money is supposed to be open. But through the Supreme Court's decisions and in Citizens United and other cases, there's been a proliferation of these nonprofit groups that are actively engaged influencing the election without necessarily saying vote for or against this person. And that money has been secretized.
Lisa,
more money was spent than ever before in 2012.
We have to leave it there. I want to thank you for being with us. Stay warm if you can. Lisa Graves is executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, and that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berger, Nicole Sarah Montagna, and Shake Steve Martinez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook, 1 minute after 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. Ladies and gentlemen, we've cut the theme off because, as it turns out, today is a special day and the theme is inappropriate. Now, we've done four holiday shows in a row between two different radio stations. I've done, without complaining, mind you, I've done Christmas Eve, I've done Christmas Day, last week I did New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. So imagine my thrill and utter joy at finding out that today, in fact, is also Christmas. Yes, today is Orthodox Christmas, and we're going to ring it in with some Orthodox Christmas carols. There you go. That's a holiday classic right there. That one was called S. How do you pronounce S? That's a word. Okay, S Nami Bo. And the one we're hearing right now is Rajdestro. You know, I feel like an idiot even trying to say these words. I look at it on a piece of paper. It's like I'm having a stroke. You know. I don't know how to pronounce those combinations of letters. I just can't do it. Rojdiostroji. You know, right now, all throughout Eastern Europe, people are laughing. I've made them laugh. Okay, I guess that's what Christmas is all about. Even Orthodox Christmas, which happens at this time of year. It happens on January the 7th, one day before Kim Jong-un's birthday. That's how you can remember. And I also, I looked this up. It gets a little confusing, if it hasn't already gotten a little confusing. And we have a whole CD of Christmas carols of the Russian Orthodox Church. That includes Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, includes Serbia, Croatia, all of that. But here are some rules so that you can keep track. Eastern Orthodox National Churches, and that's including those of Russia, Georgia, Ukraine, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia, the Greek Patriarchate of Jerusalem. What in God's name is that? Hang on one second. I just got to click on that. Greek Orthodox Patriarch of Jerusalem is the head bishop of the Orthodox Church of Jerusalem, ranking fourth of nine patriarchs in the Eastern Orthodox Church. Yeah, okay, that doesn't tell me where that actually is. Okay, the patriarch is styled Patriarch of the Holy City of Jerusalem and all Palestine, Syria, beyond the Jordan River, Cana of Galilee, and Holy Zion. Oh, okay, well, as long as it's nothing controversial, I guess that's okay. They basically mark feasts using the older Julian calendar. Yeah. And December 25th on the Julian calendar currently corresponds to January 7th on the internationally used... What's it called? Come on. Oh, come on, really? We don't know what our own calendar is called? Right. Thank you. Gregorian calendar. All right. People mouthing it through the glass. That's good. Some people know something. We use a Gregorian calendar, and they use the Julian calendar. And I guess it gets kind of confusing in other days as well. I know Orthodox Easter is also a bit later. I don't know about Orthodox Valentine's Day. I don't know. Other Orthodox Christians, such as the churches of Bulgaria... Maybe we'll get a call from there later. Greece, Romania, Antioch? Okay, hang on, I gotta click on that. Where is that? Greek Orthodox Church of Antioch, also known as the Greek Orthodox Patriarchate of Antioch and all the East, and the just tell me where it is, for God's sake. Okay, it's in what is now Turkey. Okay. Moving along here. I lost my place. So many words, too many words. Okay, Bulgaria, Greece, Romania, Antioch, Alexandria, Albania, Finland, and the Orthodox Church in America, among others, began using the revised Julian calendar in the early 20th century, which, coincidentally enough, corresponds exactly to the Gregorian calendar. So, the original date of the celebration in Eastern Christianity was January 6th in connection with Epiphany and all that. And then it's still the date of the celebration for the Armenian Apostolic Church. And in Armenia, where is a public holiday? So, yesterday was Christmas in Armenia. For real. Because they mark it as January 6th. And I believe they use the Gregorian calendar. So as of this year, there's a difference of 13 days between the modern Gregorian calendar and the older Julian calendar. And those who continue to use the Julian calendar, or its equivalents, thus celebrate December 25th and January 6th on January 7th and January 19th. Yeah, so it's not over yet. It's not over yet. It's January. No, I'm not doing a radio show on January 19th. Okay, that's good to know. For once, I'll get a break here. This makes this the fifth holiday show in a row I'm doing. Incredible. And you know what? Tomorrow, Kim Jong-un's birthday. That's number six. Wow. It's just never going to end, is it? All right, well, continuing here. January 7th, January 19th. So, because I guess if you believe Christmas is really on January 6th, And then on top of that, you use the Julian calendar. You have to add 13 to that. So then you celebrate that on January 19th. But if you believe that Christmas was on December 25th and you use a Julian calendar, then today is your day, January 7th. Any questions? I hope not. Anyway, for this reason, for one of the reasons I just mentioned, Egypt, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Russia, Georgia, Ukraine, Serbia, Montenegro, the Republic of Macedonia, the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, and the Republic of Moldova celebrate Christmas on what in the Gregorian calendar is January 7th, today. So greetings to all of you in Egypt, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Russia, Georgia, Ukraine, Serbia, Montenegro, former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, and the Republic of Moldova. Wait, why is it Republic of Moldova? Do they have to say that? Can't they just say Moldova? I know you're not allowed to say Macedonia, but I think you can say Moldova. All right, we'll find out. We'll get letters. Eastern Orthodox churches in Bulgaria. I hope you're writing this down. I'm not going to repeat it. Eastern Orthodox churches in Bulgaria, Greece, Romania, Antioch, Alexandria, Albania, Finland, and the Orthodox Church here in America celebrate Christmas on December 25th in the revised Julian calendar, which means, that's right, December 25th in the Gregorian calendar. It's not hard. It's not hard. And, you know, I really do like this music. If they played this in malls, well, it'd probably be sacrilege if they did, but how about, you know, one of those stupid Christmas music radio station things that go on the air every now and then, or a Sirius XM channel that plays nothing but holiday music. Instead, you got to hear this. I just think it carries more weight, and it just seems more befitting of the solemnness of the day, and not so much the buying fervor that we've come to associate it with. Now, how do you say Merry Christmas? I guess every language is different. I've had several people today greet me in different languages, which is actually a common tongue, Serbian, Croatian, Macedonian, I believe. Wait, is it Macedonian or Montenegrin? One of those. Or maybe both. I don't know. But former Yugoslav republics basically speak the same language. They use a different alphabet. Some use Cyrillic, some do not. But most of the pronunciation is very similar, if not the same. I can't possibly pronounce this either. It might be easier to pronounce than in Russian, but I'm going to let this computer over here say it for us. How do you say Merry Christmas in any of the languages that I just mentioned? You're going to have to speak up. Is that really... Hang on, is there a volume control over here? Did somebody turn it down? No, it's all the way up. It's cranked. All right, can the carolers just... Yeah, quiet down for a second. This is how you say it.
Hristos se rodi.
All right. Hristos se rodi. That's as close as I can get. So yeah, here we are. Another holiday. But that's not what everybody's talking about here, is it? No, we're all talking about the weather because we're getting weather. Well, we're not really getting weather. We had the snow last week. And that was fun. We saw a little bit of panicking, you know, people racing on, buying all the milk. And I was a part of that, actually. I didn't buy any milk, but I did stock up because I knew I'd be snowbound for a while, and I was, about 3 days. But no problem. You plan for these things. There was no power outage this year. You know why? We had a brand new electric company. One day into this brand new electric company, which took over on January 1st, we get a blizzard. And it was a blizzard. January 2nd. And there was not a single flicker of the lights. It was that easy. All they had to do was change from LIPA to PSE&G. And that's another thing. Everyone's calling it PSEG now. And throughout my whole life, I've heard of this company. They operate other parts of the country. And it's been PSENG. Something, something, electric and gas. But apparently now, they want to drop the N and just call it PSEG. The trucks have, they really didn't take very much time. They put stickers over the Long Island Power Authority logo, LIPA logos, on the truck. So there's now, you can still see it because the stickers aren't as big as the former logos. I don't know, how hard is it to think these things through? But the stickers say PSEG. There is no and there. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go to my favorite website, Wikipedia, and see if somebody somewhere actually talks about losing the and in the company name. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I'm just curious. And I find that on the internet, you can find out anything these days. No matter how... Wait a minute. It doesn't stand for electric and gas. It stands for Public Service Enterprise Group? Hang on a sec. How is that possible? That's like CNBC, which is affiliated with NBC, standing for Cable News Business Channel. Even though that's not what NBC stands for. And they are affiliated with NBC. You know, it's... I don't know what they call that when they use abbreviations in a manner other in which they were intended. But, no, this is not right. That's not what I remember. Public Service Enterprise Group? Founded as the Public Service Corporation of New Jersey and later renamed, I'm not crazy, Public Service Electric and Gas Company. And there it is, PSENG. Is a publicly traded diversified energy company headquartered in Newark, New Jersey. That's right, Long Islanders, our power company, is now headquartered in New Jersey. How does that make you feel? Right, well, the company's largest subsidiary retains the old PSENG name. Wow, how do you like this? They're actually talking about it. It's in the first paragraph. New Jersey's oldest and largest investor-owned utility, Public Service Electric and Gas Company, is a regulated gas and electric utility company serving the state of New Jersey. But what we have here on Long Island, apparently, is PSEG. Yeah, that's not too confusing, folks. Wow. You got the same company. You've got the same letters spelling out the same company name, but you're going to make a difference and confuse us. Yeah, beginning in 2014, PSEG. That doesn't roll off the tongue. That's hard to say. PSEG. Okay. I'll try. Never let it be said I'm not a team player. PSEG will begin operating the Long Island Power Authority's electric grid, which, if that's not enough for you, will be renamed PSEG Long Island. And no doubt in the future, PSEGLI. Pesegli. You know, at least you can say that. Pesegli. Why not? PSEG will be responsible for nearly all operations at LIPA, effectively privatizing the utility, whereas the current operator of LIPA, known as National Grid, this is as confusing as Orthodox Christmas. It really is. They are only responsible for a handful of day-to-day operations and maintenance of the transmission and distribution system. The PSEG Long Island system serves 1.1 million customers in Nassau and Suffolk counties. Somehow it seems like there should be more. And the Rockaway Peninsula of Queens in New York City. And don't forget, PSEG uses the Julian calendar. So if you call in to complain about something, make sure that you date it. What, 13 days ahead? Yeah. Otherwise, you'll have to wait 2 weeks. Okay, so yeah, we have a new electric company. And one day after they were put in place, we had a blizzard, and we seemed to do just fine. There were barely any power outages. And I think really the reason for that is that it was so cold that the snow became really light. And this is why people have so many different words for snow, because there are so many different kinds of snow. And this snow that we saw was a kind we don't see very often. It usually doesn't snow when it's really, really cold out. But this time it did, and it was very powdery, hard to pack, and very light. And it, if you were stupid enough to shovel, it would immediately blow right back because it was so light, even without much of a wind. And there was much of a wind in that overnight period. So, yeah, we got about a foot of snow here, and Then we got torrential rains over the weekend because the temperature decided to bob up into the 50s. And then right after that, it plunged down again. In fact, you're hearing about this. Half the country is experiencing record-breaking. Everything's always record-breaking, though. You know, you can always break a record somehow. It's like, oh, at 5 p.m. For the last 50 years was never this cold. At 6 p.m. and 5:15, yeah, it was just as cold. But for this moment, this very second right now, we're breaking the record. Everything's always a record breaker. So I don't really pay much mind to that. One thing that I did get super annoyed by, though, was watching all the weathercasters on television, all of whom decided to try and show off their numbers in ways that just confuse the hell out of everybody. For instance, we've all seen the five-day forecast thing. You have the high, you have the low, high and low for 5 days. Okay, these bozos over at Channel 12, the cable channel here that serves the Long Island, New York region, they decided to do it differently. They decided, and I was looking at this on Sunday because Sunday was warm, and I was trying to figure out when it was going to get cold again. And what they had was they had the low underneath the high, except it was the low that had already passed. So what they were doing was showing today, and then below that showing last night. And normally you would expect that to be tonight, after today. But they wanted to show off how cold it was beforehand, apparently. So they had to show that number, and there was no other way for them to show it except to put it underneath today's high. So basically, all the lows were off by a day unless you knew what they were doing. There was somebody else who showed a national weather map, and instead of showing the temperature, decided to show the variance in temperature over what is quote-unquote normal. So you had all throughout the country, I was seeing Atlanta, minus 20 degrees. Minus 20 degrees in Atlanta, even on Celsius, that doesn't make any sense. And if I hadn't had the volume up, I would never have been able to figure out just what in God's name they were talking about. But they were saying, yeah, it's 20 degrees colder than it should be. And they were showing this as if it was the current temperature. Then you have the wind chill and the average temperature for this day for the last 500 years. Everything but the data you actually need. And we've all seen this. We've all seen this on websites and in spreadsheets and various reports and software and apps where things are just designed so stupidly that you cannot believe they just didn't get this basic fact right. You know, for the longest time on mobile phones, if you typed your voicemail password, it would display in big numbers on your phone. It didn't make any sense. Why couldn't they make that simply not show up, and not just show up, but stay there until you went and erased every single one of them? But this was the default because, well, we just didn't think of doing it any other way. You know, this is many years after we've started using passwords and have learned that we should probably hide them. And if we think, we can probably come up with all kinds of examples of designs that we really should know better. And we do. But the people designing them aren't thinking as people. They're thinking as something else. And yeah, this makes sense. People will adapt. They'll figure it out. Well, it doesn't always work that way. But if you're convinced you don't have a voice and you just have to follow what everybody else is doing, then it'll stay that way. I can't count the number of times that I've asked, why is it being done this way? It doesn't make any sense. Do it this way instead. But how do you change that? Unless you design it yourself. And you have to somehow get the attention of the people who design these things. All right. So getting back to the weather. Okay, so we had the blizzard. We had the torrential rain. We had the heat come in. We had the heat go away. We had the bitter cold. And right now, half the country is basically experiencing temperatures that they haven't experienced in, well, probably about maybe 20 years. I don't know. I do know in parts of the Midwest or the north, it's not that unusual. And wind chills of minus 60, it's a part of life. And you do get used to these things. And I think it's kind of cool to see us here. We're not really experiencing the brunt of it, but it does get pretty cold at night sometimes when this happens, and in 2 days it'll be different. But a few days of this and you start to adapt. Human beings can do that, and that's one of the cool things about us. So if it did stay like this for a couple of weeks, where the temperature stayed well below freezing during the day and really plummeted at night, we'd stop complaining about it. We'd just deal with it. And that's something that I hope we learn more about. We never will, though. Every year it's the same thing. Every year, news bulletins when the first snow flurry hits and people overturning their SUVs when it drizzles and all sorts of things like that. It is cool, though, to look at the National Weather Service, see all the different advisories and warnings. This is what we had yesterday. Yesterday we had, all at the same time, a gale warning, a wind advisory, a wind chill advisory, a small craft advisory for all the morons out there on small craft. First of all, it's frozen. I don't know how you can even be on a small craft. Then, these ones I'd never seen before, a freezing spray advisory. A freezing spray advisory. I think that's for boats as well. And also, in case that wasn't enough for you, a low water advisory. Seems like a low water advisory you wouldn't have to worry about much, since the water's not very high. But I'm just seeing all these advisories coming in. This is six all at the same time. And we had a blizzard warning, and we had all sorts of other things last week. So weather is a lot of fun. Weather is fun when you have a variety of conditions throughout the course of a year. Because, honey, please, tone it down just a notch. Wow. No, I do like the music. I the music is amazing. Here, take it away for a second. So you can really belt one out, right? So yes, on this special day, where everything seems to be open, I'd like to actually hear from people that celebrate this holiday in other parts of the world or in this part of the world. I would imagine, thinking the way I do, that celebrating Orthodox Christmas on January the 7th, you get some really good deals on Christmas trees, for one thing. I mean, you don't have to pay anything because people are already throwing them out, and most of the stands pretty much abandon shop on December 24th. And there's probably all kinds of other advantages, too, that I'm not thinking about. But if people do want to call up and share their holiday spirit with us, whether it be Orthodox Christmas or what you're doing tomorrow for Kim Jong-un's birthday. I know the big basketball game is tomorrow. Is that going to be televised? Probably not, right? Because we don't televise things from there. But I am curious how that goes. I mean, Dennis Rodman could probably single-handedly beat the North Korean All-Star team. But I don't think that's the point, and I think he'll get shot if he does, right? That's a joke, obviously. He's in good with the folks over there. Our phone number is 631-632-6901. And we can take phone calls in just a little bit. We're listening to Christmas Carols of the Russian Orthodox Church from Russia, Ukraine, Belarus. And boy, do they spell Belarus weird. B-I-A-L-O-R-U-S. I've never seen it spelled that way. That is something else. So I had, I actually got some medical stuff done today, which is a whole saga in and of itself, and it kind of tells you what the healthcare system has been like in this country for God knows how long. And it's a testament to our spirit that we get anything done in the first place. Now, I've had this this strange pain in my side, right? I don't want to get too much into medical things because people can just talk about medical issues for hours and hours, and it's not that interesting. What's interesting is the process, what people are expected to do. And I had this pain, nothing severe, just I was curious, what is this pain all about? And I had a checkup, so I asked the doctor, well, what's this pain all about? She said, I don't really know, but come back in 6 weeks if you still have it, and we'll take it from there. And 6 weeks later, still there, nothing serious, nothing excruciating, but kind of like to know what this is, what's causing it. And she said, okay, you know what, let's get a CAT scan to rule out things. Sounds good to me. And I called from the parking lot after leaving to make the appointment with the CAT scan people. And then the CAT scan people said, okay, what is the authorization number? What is the authorization number? I don't know what that even means. But apparently the doctor is supposed to give you an authorization number from the insurance company, from your insurance company, that allows them to proceed with this test. And she hadn't done that. So I had to go back inside. Remember, I was still in the parking lot, and say, hey, I need an authorization number. And of course, you can't talk to the doctor after you have your appointment. That just isn't done. So I was given a telephone to call a special number to ask for this information. And of course, the special phone number doesn't ring anywhere. It just goes to a voicemail box. And the person there says to give the information that the doctor really should have given them in the first place, and they will get back to you in 72 hours. 72 hours. I wanted to get this thing done then. Yeah. And I waited and waited and got a call back eventually saying that the insurance company had overruled the doctor and said, no, this test is not necessary. And the doctor, in fact, tried to convince them that this is something that she thought should be done. And they said, no, we don't think so. We don't agree. These are people sitting in an office someplace overruling doctors saying, no, we don't think that's necessary. And I felt like calling them. I felt like calling my insurance company. I always imagine these conversations I might have if I was really annoying. And saying, you know, you guys want to play doctor? Okay, give me the diagnosis then. What exactly is causing this pain? Since you believe that this is not necessary, then tell me the prognosis. What does it mean? What is this all about? But of course, I never made that phone call because I don't even like the sound of me saying, what if I said that? It just sounds so annoying. But that's what people have to do these days. That's how crazy it is. So I went on the internet and did some research as to, well, how much could this possibly cost if I just did it myself? After all, keep in mind, my insurance company, it's a $10,000 deductible, which means they're not going to cover it anyway. So what are we even arguing about here? I'm getting an authorization code for a procedure that's going to be processed by you and then not covered. And you're not giving the doctor that authorization number that you will later not have to pay for. It was incredibly Kafka-esque. And so I did a little bit of research, and I found all kinds of stories. You can always do this on the internet. I found all kinds of stories about how much CAT scans cost. I found one person that paid $9,000 for a CAT scan. And, you know, at least I understood then why the insurance company was going bananas trying to stop this. $9,000 just to satisfy my curiosity. I guess that does seem a little crazy. I convinced myself that, yeah, overreacting a bit. I should just calm down, accept that I have this mystery pain, and not pursue it. Not cause any waves. People are busy. They have other things to do. But then I made a phone call to the very people that had asked me for the authorization code in the first place, the CAT scan people, and I explained the situation to them, and I said, okay, you know, how much would it be, since my insurance company doesn't want to cover this, how much would it be for me to just pay it out of pocket? And it's really funny because, You ever have these phone calls where you call up somebody who answers the phone and you explain the situation to them and they immediately sympathize with you? Say, well, the insurance companies, they are so terrible. Let me tell you about something they did to... And I had to listen to this whole story by the people that were demanding the authorization code in the first place about how unfair it was that they demanded the authorization code in the first place and how insurance companies are just out there to rob people and the whole medical system in this country is crazy. This is the medical system in this country. They're talking to me and telling me how crazy it is. So after 5 or 6 minutes of this, I'm the one sympathizing with them about their problems. And we've completely forgotten about what I called about. So I had to steer the conversation back to that and say, okay, so if I wanted to do this myself, what would it actually cost? Would it be $9,000? $5,000? What? Just tell me. I'm curious. Turned out it was $250. And I checked this several times, made sure there weren't any hidden fees or anything like that. $250. Yeah, it's a pain. A different kind of pain than the one I was experiencing, but a pain nonetheless. But still, considering my low-cost insurance, I'm still ahead than if I had something higher that did cover it. So I said, okay, you know what? Let me just do this. And that's what I did today. I went down there and had this done and got injected with the dye that makes you tingle all over and all kinds of craziness like that. And the best part about it, well, they gave me a CD. They gave me a CD with the imaging on it that I could go home and look at myself before the doctor even tells me what's going on. But apparently, I don't know, I got some kind of copyright warning on my own pictures. So I wasn't able to do that, but I was able to go online and get a report from a doctor I'd never met before, who basically was explaining the entire thing. CT of the chest was performed with multi-slice axial images, with reconstructions performed, sagittal and coronal plane. Is it harder for me to try to pronounce Russian words or medical words? I don't know. 80 cc's, Omnipaque, 350 IV contrast was administered. This is performed, it just goes on and on forever. So, apparently my visualized thyroid gland is unremarkable. Ain't that a kick in the face? I've had compliments on my visualized thyroid gland, but now I find out today it's really unremarkable. My heart is not enlarged. There is no pericardial effusion. And the thoracic aorta is normal in caliber, without significant atherosclerotic change. Because that was a big worry. The tracheobronchial tree is patent centrally. There is some peripheral atelectasis at the lingula. Oh my goodness. Yes, there is some peripheral atelectasis at the lingula. Why can't they speak English? I mean, you know, lungs, heart, feet. I understand words like that. Couldn't they just have more words like that that mean other things? You know, and then I'd know what they were. I'd be able to pronounce them. I mean, there are plenty of two-syllable words left, one-syllable words they haven't used yet. They don't have to come up with things like after 4 times, I still can't say it. My lung fields are otherwise clear. You see, I understood that. That was pretty simple. However, there is, and this is interesting, an 0.5 centimeter, that's, what is that, 5 millimeters? Lower lobe nodule, which has the appearance of a benign intrapulmonary lymph node. I looked this up, too, and this is something that could be an issue. It's unrelated to the pain, but it could be an issue. And by having this test, maybe we found something that could develop later on. I'm supposed to go back in 9 months for a follow-up for this probably benign right lower lobe pulmonary nodule. And that's why you don't back down and accept and say, okay, I'm not going to cause any trouble or ask too many questions. Because these are human beings, too. They will miss things. They won't understand exactly what it is you're describing. unless you're persistent. And sometimes that means being a persistent pain yourself. So, otherwise, you know, pretty good. I mean, the visualized osseous structures are within normal limits. That's all I wanted to hear, really. But I imagine I'll get a phone call with an actual conversation in English that I can ask a few questions about and take it from there. But boy, you know, it's good to get that out of the way. Only went on for about a month and a half. Could have been done in a single day, single afternoon. The whole thing took 10 minutes. And it was kind of cool. It's kind of cool that you lie down on this table, they inject you with this weird fluid. They tell you exactly what it's going to feel like, too. They say, well, you're going to feel kind of tingly here. You're going to feel like you're urinating, but you're really not. And I'm like, how can you be so sure? How do you know? But that's exactly what it felt like, and it was kind of weird. And this is all pre-Obamacare, too. I have not yet gone to a new plan. I'm sticking with my El Cheapo $10,000 deductible plan because it kind of serves me. I'm saving at least $300 a month. And if you add that up, no matter what happens, I mean, 300 times, that's $3,600 a year that I would have to actually be spending for me not to save money. And, of course, there's a maximum amount that you can spend anyway, so at that point it kicks in. Anyway, I did threaten to take phone calls. I'm going to make that threat again. We're going to keep the Orthodox Christmas carols going. We'll be in delay. They'll be live. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it just means I'll get a little bit more confused. That's what it means. So let's go into delay and give out the phone number, 631-632-6901.
Hi, I'm Mimi, and I love WUSB.
And we're back. We are back in delay land. And our phone number, 631-632-6901. We have the carolers underneath us. And the Eastern Orthodox Christmas spirit is all around. And we have phone calls, 631-632-6901. Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
Bobson, I was hoping to hear from you. What's the proper greeting for your country?
In Bulgaria, for Christmas, we say Vesela Koleda.
That's not too dissimilar from what I said before, right?
Well, the Russians say use the birth of Christ in their greeting, and so do the Serbs, from what you say, except Christos was born in their recordings. But ours is Mary, and it refers to, because I'm guessing the Ottoman Empire being around here and not being too fond of the Christian terminology, well, among the people who are celebrating the winter solstice things.
The actual phrase, I believe, means Christ has risen or something. Is that correct?
No, that's for Easter.
Oh, really? I've got it all wrong. Okay.
The Christ is born is the phrase you had recorded from the former Yugoslav.
Ah, Christ is born. That's what it is. Okay. I get the two mixed up sometimes.
But, it's similar to what the Russians are using.
For you guys in Bulgaria, though, it's December 25th. You use the Gregorian calendar.
Well, I think that's the one. 25th is when it's celebrated by the Bulgarian Orthodox Church.
Okay.
I was gonna mention that because it started, it's Orthodox Christmas, but I know it's Russian Orthodox and some other Orthodox churches have it on the 7th of January, but some as the Bulgarian Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox, and some of the others around here have it on the 25th of December.
Now,
but you already went through all that.
Yeah. Are there many people in your country that are celebrating today?
I don't think so. Most of us were celebrating it on the December 25th, from what I know.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Now, are you getting crazy cold weather over there, or is that something that's happening in the States?
Well, no, we're not getting crazy cold weather. It's around freezing, maybe 2 degrees under freezing, 2 of Celsius, so it's in the low 30s maybe.
Okay, it's not that bad at all then.
In the middle of the night, but we've been having this weird fog ever since I flew back from Hamburg on Saturday.
Now, you went to the Chaos Congress, correct?
To 3050, yes.
Did you see me there?
Pardon?
Did you see me there?
I didn't see you there. I listened to some recordings of your radio shows.
Okay.
Both from.
Oh, no, that's good, because I wasn't there, and if you had seen me there, I would worry. I wish I was there. I wish I was there, and I want to be there next time.
Why would anyone be seeing you there? I think you're missed.
Perhaps some people see what they want to see. I can't explain it. Nobody understands it.
So you have reports that you have been seen there? Is that what you're saying?
I hear all kinds of things for the course of a day, and most of it I ignore. But when people see me in foreign countries, I do have to take that seriously.
I did not see you. I haven't seen you in Germany for the past 2 years, at least.
Well, that corresponds to most of the time I haven't been there. However, you know, one thing that is exciting is that we opened up HopeX online registration. And, boy, apparently a lot of people are really enthused by what happened in Germany and what's happening around the world in the hacker world, because I've never seen such a response as we're seeing right now. And we haven't even announced anything that we're doing yet. We're doing all kinds of cool things and working on all sorts of projects. But all we did was open it up. And it's like people were lined up online, that is virtually, just waiting to make the reservations. And I think that's really, it's one good thing that has come out of all the controversy of the last year, the last several years, actually. Is that we're talking more and we're more involved than ever. By us, I mean the hacker community.
Well, that's a good thing. I remember how in the summer of 2011 at camp in Germany, people were saying how crazy DEFCON had gotten at 15,000 people. And last year in Hamburg, we had 6,000 people for the Congress for the first time back in Hamburg.
And this year, I believe it was 9,000.
It was 9,000 people for Congress, and if we keep going like that, next year it will be 1,500,000 people.
Okay, that's a difference, because we don't want to do that. We don't want to have 15,000 people to deal with in Midtown Manhattan. We're quite happy with 3,000, and we might even have to cap it.
Last year we only had some of the Congress Center in Hamburg, not the whole building. This year we had the whole building, and it was pretty well used from what I...
Well, what's interesting about Hotel Pennsylvania is that there are always more rooms. And I only discovered that this year, in fact, or last year, there are rooms that we don't use. I mean, I knew there was one ballroom we don't use, but apparently there's like about two more that we also don't use that we could expand into. So there is room for expansion. Of course,
three ballrooms sounds quite good. I think.
Yeah, it's just that when it gets to be like a rock concert where you have, you know, more than 5,000 people, it starts to lose the magic, I think. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case at CCC. I'm sure there's different magic, but it's not something that we're embracing.
There's always magic. It's just that the magic is not always... It gets boring when everything is as you expected. It's nice to have some of the surprise in it, and the magic is there, even though bigger, maybe different. Funny they had. I don't.
Well, we'll see. I could be wrong on this. I could be resisting change or resisting growth. I don't know. What I have seen so far, though, is impressive. The enthusiasm level. seems to be way up, and we'll work with that, and we'll grow as demands necessitate.
Well, that's good to know.
And I hope we see you in New York.
Well,
here it comes. Here comes the excuses why people don't want to travel to the United States. This is something that we're going to be actually engaged in quite a bit, is dispelling some of the myths. Number one, you will not be sent to Guantanamo if you answer a question wrong when you enter the country. Okay?
Well, the
most
thing
conversations
is,
go well.
Don't. My main reason is to not be sure of going yet is budgetary.
And of course, budgetary reasons is another very valid concern, but that's why we announce things far in advance, so that people can start putting away a little bit, so that they can, you know, the airfare obviously is the most expensive part.
Embassy of the USA in have an interview for a visa for the duration and what all that stuff.
Yeah,
and
I know, that's a pain too. That's a pain, but you know, a lot of people do it. A lot of people come to this country.
I know.
Do you want them all to just be tourists who go to Times Square, or do you want them to be some of the most intelligent people in the world that will get together and meet other like-minded people and really build something amazing?
What does that have to do with me?
Oh, come on. Don't put yourself down like that. Anyway, if you want to visit the HopeX web, actually, we're going to have a new HopeX website pretty soon. The web address is
Yes, 3xs.4xs.3x.
No. Don't give it the wrong address. I'm not going to say it because it'll take too long, but xxx dot and then 18xs dot xxx. All x's. That's our web address. I'm not kidding. That's really true.
How many in the second? How many between the two dots?
18. 18 x's.
18. Why 18?
Because that's what we could get. And there's another one. We actually have another one that has even more, but I haven't even gotten around to counting that one yet. But right now we're going with the 18 X's, 3 X's, 18 X's, 3 X's, okay? If you can't remember that, or maybe you're...
Right. I was expecting you to get 3 X's, 4 more, and 3 more for a total of 10.
It's possible that, you know, your internet service provider might block triple X domains because they're supposed to be used for pornography. Technically, we're in violation by not providing pornography. But if you'd rather use...
How dare you not provide pornography?
Well, we're just very busy. But if you have a preference to use a regular sounding website, go to x.hope.net. There you'll find all the information so far, which is very little.
It's easier to type.
It's very little information so far other than how to register for the conference, but a lot more is coming. We're working on that right now, x.hope.net. And Hope takes place July 18, 19, and 20th at the Hotel Pennsylvania right across from Penn Station in New York City. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be historic. And I hope to see you there.
Sounds excellent.
All right. Hey, Bobson, we're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time.
Right. Well, thank you for a great show, and thank you for the previous several holiday shows.
Yeah, let's hope it ends. Of course, tomorrow is Kim Jong-un's special day, so we'll have to do something.
Dennis Rodman having a big basketball game in North Korea for the occasion.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he's playing. That would be something. If Dennis Rodman suddenly comes up, hey, no, Kim, get on the court here. You're playing. That would be interesting, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, we shall know tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get the final score. All right, Popson, great hearing from you as always. Take care.
Around here.
All right, have a Merry Eastern Orthodox Christmas, and we'll see you next week, maybe. All right. And here we are, out of delay. Well, you know, I knew we'd hear from Bobson from Bulgaria. Sorry for anybody else we didn't get to, but you can write to us. otw@2600.com is our email address for Off the Wall. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear all kinds of experiences, feedback, criticisms, suggestions, ideas, various things like that. How did you stay warm during this cold snap? Yeah, the cold snap is what they call it. And there are all kinds of fun things you can do. I wish it was colder here so we could do these things. It's not cold enough where you can throw water up in the air and it comes down as snow. You hear about this one? I haven't done that. I've never seen that. I've seen it done on TV, but it doesn't look very good. But apparently you can take water when it's really, really cold out, throw it up in the air, and it comes right back down as snow. Or you can put a wet towel on a clothesline And I don't know how long this takes. It might not take very long at all, but you have an instant sled because it freezes solid, and then you have this thing you can go down a hill on, which is actually a towel. That sounds like it could be a lot of fun. Or you make a toboggan, maybe, I guess, right? I prefer cold to heat because the thing with cold is you can go inside. You can go inside and you can start a fire. I know it's still a sensitive topic around here. Start a fire in a fireplace. Oh, and I guess also I'm supposed to apologize for opening up the champagne last week. Apparently that's against another rule. So, all right. No fires in the studio and no champagne in the studio. Anything else? Yeah, a lot of stuff. Huh? Okay. I'll read through that telephone book of regulations and try not to violate any of them this year. All right, we are out of time, and time actually to go out with the final, I timed this very well, the final song on this CD of Orthodox Christmas Carols, which might sound a little familiar because it's the only song that I think shows up in both versions of the holiday. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Write to us again, otw@2600.com. We will see you next week. And happy Orthodox Christmas to everybody out there. Come.
Hey kids, Finn with you on Finn's Revolution right here on WUSB Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. And tonight we have the filmmaker from a great film about Lester Bangs, one of my favorite writers, about his early developmental years and how he got so messed up. So stay tuned and learn a little about that film right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
The rings that she wears, I'll keep looking every way. I never see her face. Oh no, I don't. But I hold her hand across the table in a little cafe.
Oh,
oh yes, I did. I can tell by the touch. By the touch of her fingertips,
yeah.
Oh, I'd be lost.
Come on now.
In ecstasy to the touch of her sweet, sweet lips. Listen.
Hey kids, Double Soul right here on WUSB. Stony Brook from 35 Mod Femme Hits right here. And a few other things, and you can check out the playlist later. In just a few moments, we're going to have film director Raul Sandelin, who did a great, great film about Lester Bangs, the writer, the rock and roll poet laureate, Charles Bukowski and Hunter S. Thompson of rock and roll. And it's going to be a very, very interesting and exciting interview in about 5 minutes from now. Meanwhile, this is brand new from R. Stevie Moore. Stay tuned.
You are very intelligent. Imagine your brain improved. You can tell that dreaming is easy, but I'll continue to move. Rock and roll has its problems. Every pipe's in the minor leagues. Consider all the things that people can't do. Besides, look at Cheryl Tiggs. That is stupid. I am the one of my own, but it's hard being ahead of your time, and I'll continue to grow. Rock and roll is deceasing, everybody knows it's repetition. Do it once, do it over again, and again once more, no competition. That is wrong. Yes, that's not good, boys and girls. You've got to study real hard and do your very best to make better grades than your friends. Never second that you understand. Smile with knowledge of truth. It's simple to grasp a creative style to use and continue to use. Cause rock and roll is constipated. Not only is it shit, but it's runny shit. And it doesn't want to stop oozing out. And you know I'm tired of it. Come on! What in the world is wrong with you? Explain! Why are you acting so dumb? You can't fool me. I know you've got some common sense.
Yeah. Stop it.